This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
I'm here at New York University with Ronnie Jansen, who is studying high-energy cosmic rays. So, Ronnie, can you tell us a bit about your research, please?
Sure. I work mainly on ultra-high-energy cosmic rays, which are the highest of energies among the cosmic rays, and Earth is being bombarded by these particles or rays, and each can have an energy up to the kinetic energy of a golf ball hit at the fairway. So it's a huge amount of energy packed into one subatomic particle, and they hit Earth about 1 per century per square kilometer. So it's not a lot of these cosmic rays. And there's a huge experiment in Argentina where we measure these cosmic rays, and about 50 or so have been measured at these highest energies over a course of several years. So there's very few data on the cosmic rays, and the one of the biggest open questions in astrophysics right now is where these cosmic rays are coming from. They're coming from the solar system, our galaxy, or from further away, and also what can possibly generate the cosmic rays in the first place. What kind of process are accelerating these particles to such energies, or if there's some exotic phenomena that produces them somewhere in the universe.
Okay, so we've got there are plenty of high energy phenomena going on in the universe. You've got gamma ray bursts, AGNs. What's our current thinking for where these things are coming from?
So there's many models from where they're coming from, and there's almost every conceivable process have been suggested. The favorite current model is perhaps in active galaxies, or AGNs, as you say. And other people think that gamma ray bursts might be the source.
Mm-hmm.
But what we know is that it's definitely cosmological distances they're coming from. So it's not within our own galaxy. It's from other galaxies.
And that, I suppose, explains why they've got such a low area. One
right.
century per square kilometer. That's
Yes, probably. They're very exotic objects, and they've been traveling very far to get here. So there's very few of them, for sure. So my own research is... has been with galactic magnetic fields, and it's the connection with ultra-high-energy cosmic rays is that we believe the cosmic rays to be protons or perhaps heavier atomic nuclei. So they will be positively charged, and a charged particle traveling through a magnetic field will be deflected somewhat. And so on their course to Earth, they will be deflected in our galactic magnetic field, which further complicates this the work of trying to figure out where they're coming from exactly. So we can measure them on the sky without around 1 degree accuracy, so about the size of the moon or the sun. Mm-hmm. That's the area where we can say they're coming from. But because of the magnetic field, they might have been deflected several more degrees in some direction. So in order to say where they're actually coming from, we have to have a very accurate model of the galactic magnetic field. And so I've applied the magnetic field model I and my colleagues have been working on in trying to backtrack the cosmic rays through this magnetic field in order to predict where they're actually coming from. And there's been a recent claim that among these highest energy cosmic rays, there's an excess that has been measured close to the direction of the closest AGN on the sky, which is called Centaurus A. And there's been about 10 or so of these 27 in that sample cosmic rays within about 20 degrees from this galaxy. And so what we've been doing now is to backtrack these cosmic rays, the directions, and ask where they should actually be coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that there's a handful of them that could conceivably been produced by Centaurus A, but the majority is probably not. They have to have some other source. So we find it unlikely that Centaurus A is the source of the main part of these cosmic rays. And there has to be some other explanation.
Okay. How are you finding mapping the galactic magnetic field? It sounds like a pretty awesome job.
It's a very tricky job because the way we usually measure magnetic fields, like the Earth magnetic field, is we take a compass and we travel around the surface of the Earth and we get an accurate map of the magnetic field. But we can't do that for the galaxy, so we have to rely on very indirect means to understand the magnetic field, which is, for instance, that polarized light coming from outside our galaxy will have their polarization angle slightly shifted because of the magnetic field. So we have to study subtle effects in polarization and try to infer this three-dimensional magnetic field based on the two-dimensional light we call the sky. So for an astronomer, the world is sort of two-dimensional, it's just the sky we have looking at, and trying to infer a three-dimensional structure from that is hard. Strictly speaking, it's impossible, so we have to make a lot of assumptions and we have to make guesstimates and models and try to constrain them. And it's been very difficult, so the magnetic field is very much an unknown quantity. We know about the rough strength, but even some of its basic structure is still unknown. So that's a big problem.
So if these vast majority of the events aren't coming from Centaurus A, where else can they be coming from?
So it turns out that Centaurus A, the location of Centaurus A, is roughly in the same direction of what's called the supergalactic plane, which is a direction of the sky where you have an excess of other galaxies. So you have a long, you have clusters of galaxies in this direction. So, for instance, if ultra-high-energy cosmic rays are produced sort of by generic active galaxies, AGNs, we would expect more cosmic rays coming from that general direction, simply because there's more matter and more galaxies in that direction. That's a very plausible explanation for where these are coming from. There's also another something that I've been working on, and it's the fact that we don't know the charge of cosmic rays. Typically, we believe them to be protons, but they could very well be heavy nuclei or have a mixed composition. Some are heavy, some are light, and heavier nuclei are deflected more than light nuclei in the galaxy, in the galactic magnetic field. So we made a model where we let the charge of these cosmic rays, the measured cosmic rays, be able to vary. So they could be protons and heavier, up to iron. And we asked, depending, is it a plausible scenario that you have only a single source on the sky that are producing essentially all cosmic rays seen, all ultra-high-energy cosmic rays, but it produces a mixed composition of charges, so that they will be spread out across the sky. And we found that of the 27 measured by Ogier, Pierre Ogier, that's the observatory in Argentina, we find that 22 of them could possibly come from a single source if we assign specific charges to each of them. Then the magnetic field we believe exists in the galaxy would have spread these cosmic rays in such a way that we observe them across the sky as we do now. But there's a lot of assumptions and ifs going into that model, and we need to study it further and and we're always constrained by the fact that the magnetic field itself is so poorly known. But there are advances being made in galactic magnetic field models, so hopefully this is something we could revisit in the future with more data, both in terms of cosmic rays and what we know about the magnetic field.
Mm-hmm. And what happens when this ultra high energy, this golf ball amount of energy packed into a subatomic particle, hits the Earth's atmosphere?
Right, so when it hits, it immediately creates a shower of secondary particles, and they will also have a huge amount of energy in them, and they will go on and hit something else in the atmosphere and each create another shower. So there will be one huge shower of billions of secondary particles that will rain down on Earth, and subsequently they lose energy, and so the observatory in Argentina is hundreds of water tanks on a plane, and inside these water tanks there's a photomultiplier tubes and a detector, so when these tanks are hit by the secondaries, you trigger each of these tanks and you can reconstruct, depending on how they each were hit, you can reconstruct the general direction of the original particle. But there's a lot of stuff going on there with the atmosphere and things about particle physics we're not really sure of, so that's why we're still uncertain about the actual charge of the primary particle coming in, and also the exact energy is hard to determine, maybe to about 25% accuracy, and also the direction, which is about a degree on the scale, which in astronomy is a very poor accuracy. It's a degree is a big patch of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem.
Yeah. So what's the future then? What does the future hold for high energy cosmic rays?
There's a similar observatory being planned in the northern hemisphere on Earth. So right now, this observatory is mainly, it sees only most of the southern sky. And if we build it in the north, we'll have a more complete picture. And as data keep coming in, so there's only a few, maybe one a month of these highest energy particles that we detect. And so a main problem is these poor statistics. And hopefully when we have a few hundred of these and a better representation of the magnetic field, we will be able to tell more for certain where they're actually coming from, which means we have a more clear idea about what exactly is producing them in the first place, and that would be that's a solution to a huge mystery from where they're coming from.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us on the Jodcast.
Thank you.